views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you break free of those things that are holding you back from being your best self so that you can love your life at work, at home, and at play. Last week, I revisited the topic of my health and how using the information I have learned in the medical medium's books have helped me to heal. If you did not listen to last week's show, you might find this one a little bit confusing. So you might want to go back if that's the case and check it out. Because today I'm going to launch right in to where we left off, which is sharing with you about the foods that MM, that's my code for Anthony William, who is the medical medium, suggests that we make sure that we have in our diet. Now, last week, I talked about celery and how juicing it and drinking it daily can have a huge positive influence on so many areas of your life. I shared the heavy metal detox smoothie, which I told you caused me some digestive upset. And I suspect that that's because I'm so sensitive and have lots of bugs to kill off. So I ended up having to ease up on it. And then I shared with you that I added in some lemon water first thing in the morning, followed by lemon water with ginger and honey. Then I waited half an hour and I have my fresh celery juice, and I wait another half hour and I have my fruit smoothie, which is what I consider my breakfast and is all I eat every morning. So that is where we left off. Let's jump right back in and talk about fruit. Fruit truly is the nectar of the gods. At this time in history, we are being told to avoid fruit because of its sugar content, when in fact, it is this sugar that our body thrives on. If you want to lose weight, fix your gut, increase your energy, clear up your foggy brain or skin, eat lots and lots of whole fruit. Now, if like me, you've been told to avoid fruit because of candida overgrowth, then you might want to read the chapter in Medical Medium on candida so that you can learn that when candida is high in your body, it's because it's trying to fix your gut. It is not causing the problem. Also, if you've been told to avoid fruit in order to stay in ketosis, well, all I can say is after learning about the liver and fat, plus what really nourishes your body and helps it to run optimally, which is fruit, I just don't buy it. I'm going to talk more about this in a few minutes closer to the end if I still have time. I have some stories I can share about my experiences, but suffice it to say, I won't be eating that way ever again. Interestingly, going back to the fruit topic, it was my kids that showed me not to fear fruit. And then Medical Medium backed it up with some solid, solid reasons. When my kids were little, they loved fruit, and I would let them eat all they wanted, except I kind of would ration them on bananas. I'd limit them to 2 per day, but that was more because we lived in the country and I couldn't always get good bananas, and we go through them so quickly. I can remember people telling me that I shouldn't let my kids eat so much fruit. Some said it would give them diarrhea. Some said it just wasn't good for them, that they wouldn't eat the things they really needed. Some said it would rot their teeth. Some said that it would give them a sugar high and make them too hyper. But something about it just didn't feel right to me. I knew how I felt about fruit, and I really, really loved it. And so I decided to let Natural Consequences deal out any corrections that were required, whether it be loose bowels or I think someone had said a rash and, you know, stuff like that. I thought, oh, I'm just going to let it happen and then deal with it. And you know what? Amazingly, I don't remember that ever happening. And my kids would eat tons and tons of watermelon and apples and cherries and, you know, just bananas, of course, and so on, peaches when they were in season. I am absolutely positive that both of my kids are as healthy as they are today because of following my intuition on that, which you might think means they're super healthy, but one of my sons has actually struggled with health issues for a lot of years. And I am just so thankful that I at least let him eat all that fruit when he was a baby, because he would have had lots of stuff to be clearing up. So since reading MM's books, I have to say I eat at least 15 servings of fruit every day, and I love it. Now, I've been doing that for 10 months. So it's not just I've been doing it for a week and I'm telling you it's not a problem. My morning smoothie has 2 to 3 bananas in it, usually 3 if I have enough, a chunk of papaya, 2 cups of wild blueberries, and then dragon fruit. That's the base that I use every morning. Then I add whatever fruit I like. So today I added an apple, a kiwi, the juice from half of an orange, the juice from half of a grapefruit, a couple of dates, some strawberries, some frozen spinach and kale. And then I put about a cup or so of pure coconut water. It is delicious. And you know what? For the first time in my adult life, it feels like my yeast problems are gone. I do not have any of the stuff that I used to get quite a bit. And I don't feel sugared out in any way. I'm not at all sick of the fruit or anything. It's just wonderful. And I have to say that if I'm feeling unsatisfied with a meal, then I wait a little bit, especially if there was fat in the meal, and then I have fruit. That's my snack. That's what I love to take with me as a snack anywhere I go. I eat a lot of fruit. And on some days, I will eat like 4 apples, sometimes even 5. And that's not that I just love apples so much, but I know they're really good for me and they are a really, really great snack. So yeah, I pig out when it comes to fruit. And apparently the bugs and the viruses, or the bacteria and the viruses that are in my body, do not love fruit. And when there's so much going in, they have trouble not accidentally eating it because it doesn't come in looking like an apple, right, for them. Another food MM says that we all need to be eating lots of, and this one isn't a surprise, I don't think, to any of us, is vegetables. We've been told that for a long time. They are awesome for us, especially when they're organic, because obviously if they're not, they're going to have maybe some pesticides or residue on it that could be problematic for us. Leafy greens like spinach, kale, romaine, butter lettuce, arugula, and so on, they're fantastic for us, as are asparagus, Brussels sprouts, and artichokes. Those are 3 super healthy ones. Potatoes too. Wow, potatoes are so good for us, and yet we've been told that, no, they're too high in sugar, avoid potatoes, they're not good for you. You do want to have organic, because potatoes have a really strong ability to absorb the bad things in the air, get rid of them, and so the bad things in the ground, right, they would absorb that as a way to help purify the ground. And then if there's pesticides and stuff around you, you'd be getting that in your potato. So you want organic as much as you possibly can. But boiled potatoes, steamed potatoes, even, well, baked potatoes for sure, but also taking a potato and cutting it up and then sprinkling some spices and stuff on it and putting it in the oven. So you're making basically French fries, but without the oil. Oh my gosh, they're delicious. Actifries work for that really well too, but I didn't bring my Actifry with me, so I've just been sticking them in the oven. And they are really, really good. And you know what? Just an aside about the Brussels sprouts. I find this amazing. Since I started doing the liver cleanse, that's where the Brussels sprouts really came into the picture, because they're super, super good for your liver. I have shared with other people about the different things that I eat. They always ask me, so what do you eat? And I mentioned Brussels sprouts as one of the things. And every single one of those people has said to me, oh, I love Brussels sprouts. And I'm thinking, really? Like, I thought Brussels sprouts were one of the most hated vegetables in the world ever. And it turns out not. Now, I do not love them at all, but I have learned to like them, and I now have a very healthy respect for them. So I'm fine with eating them. Whereas like something like arugula, I still struggle with. It's just got a taste that my taste buds do not like, but it's good for you. So I try it every once in a while. And I've learned with the arugula that I can mask it with the taste of strawberries. So I sometimes eat those together. Anyway, the Brussels sprouts are showing up on menus all over the place at different restaurants. So I'm thinking there's a lot more people that like them than hate them. All right, the next thing he says that we want lots of is living water. Apparently, dehydration is a really big problem for pretty much everyone. And this is one of those things that we also can inherit. So if your parents were dehydrated, which they probably were, then you inherit that. You come into this world already dehydrated. I think most of us have been taught to believe that we get dehydrated in a single day, and that's where a problem comes in. But the truth is, we're dealing with chronic dehydration. So when you take lemons or limes or cucumber and put them in water, like so you squeeze the lemon or lime into the water, or you just throw some cucumber slices in, you create what he calls living water. And that water is primed to rehydrate you. Now, you're not going to do it overnight. It's going to take quite a bit of time. But if you drink a lot of water with the idea of you want to stay hydrated, try adding in some lemon or lime to all of it, you know, throughout the day and see how that helps you. Apples also have living water in them, and I suspect there's a lot of other things that do. He doesn't list them all, but one thing he did talk about, and I'm not sure if this was in his book or in one of his podcasts, but he talked about when you're eating foods that are cooked, that's naturally going to be dehydrating for you. I had no idea that was the case, but anytime you cook foods, it is dehydrating. So adding in living water food, and just raw veggies really in this case, can make a big difference. So with every meal, add in some fresh cucumber or some fresh carrots or some apple or whatever, and that will help with that. So eating fruits and vegetables can help you kill off as well as starve viruses and bacteria that are hiding out in your body and causing this myriad of symptoms. How cool is that? Just knowing that information, that when you eat those vegetables, the lettuce leaves, you know, how they're bitter sometimes at the bottom, they're doing all kinds of good things for you. And they're helping to get rid of these bugs that we quite naturally seem to have in us. I shouldn't say naturally, that we all seem to have in us and have a lot of because they're all around us. All right, let's move on to the foods to avoid. Not necessarily because the foods are bad for you, although some of them are, but more because these are foods that the viruses love eating even more than you do. So I actually hate to tell you this because some of them I think are foods we all love to eat. Like, for example, eggs. Eggs are a big problem. They're like the favorite food for viruses. That's such a bummer. I mean, they're so versatile. They're so delicious. I've taken eggs out of my diet before, but I was quick to add them back in as soon as I could because I didn't appear to be sensitive to them. And I thought of them as a healthy fat. And back then, I thought fat was a good idea. So I'd sometimes eat 3 to 4 eggs a day. According to MM, however, the many viruses and bacteria that we harbor love to eat eggs as well. And that totally explains to me why I couldn't get ahead of the game. So I've actually taken them out completely since August. In July, I went camping with some girlfriends and we had eggs 3 days in a row and I ate them and I loved them. And I came home with the biggest, most painful cold sore ever because, yeah, they feed off of that. And I happen to have that virus. Okay. But anyway, there's lots of other viruses too that eat off it. Dairy. Dairy is also a problem. We know dairy is a problem. We've been told that, or at least more of us are hearing about it a lot. But apparently these viruses love dairy, like cheese, ice cream, sour cream, yogurt, butter, ghee, all of that. They love it. So they're delicious foods. Yes, I know. Now for me, I've known that I was lactose intolerant for a long time now. So I actually cut all those foods out. And then in the last few years, I found lactose-free cheese and yogurt. I tried the yogurt. I didn't really like it. It was too sweet. But the cheese, oh my gosh, it was like, yay, I can eat cheese again and have real mozzarella that melts on things and stuff. Yeah, turns out not. I also learned that grass-fed butter was okay, even if you were lactose intolerant. So I brought that back in. And ghee was okay as well. So all these things, I started eating them again, and now I'm learning that I probably am not even lactose intolerant. It's just I have viruses that love these foods. So I need to cut them out until I get the viruses under control. And I will probably keep them out because I've been without them for so long and I've learned so many great alternatives to them. But you might decide to just take them out and get rid of whatever problems are ailing you. If you have MS, you know, start taking all these things out until you get healthy, and then you can decide whether or not to add them back in. Gluten. Now, this is another food that I figured out I can't digest. So I never wanted to have a label put on me. I never wanted to be diagnosed as a celiac, but I've always known that it was a very real possibility for me. It turns out that if you react to gluten, though, it's likely because you're carrying the viruses that love to feed on it. So when you eat it, you bloat, or your brain goes foggy, or other symptoms intensify, not because you can't digest it, but simply because these bugs and such are partying it up inside of you. So it's not your immune system attacking itself. It's actually your hitchhikers having a party. Go bigger. So I have learned a lot of great alternatives for dairy and gluten over the years. And so they're not such a big deal for me, but I totally get it that if you've been eating those, if your kids have been eating those, they're really hard things to actually take out of your diet. Thankfully, it's a lot easier now, like more and more restaurants are offering gluten-free alternatives. Although what I'm finding, at least here in Atlanta, is that a lot of the ones that are offering gluten-free are trying to make up for it by adding in a lot more dairy. And so the dairy shows up on a lot of the gluten-free. So where I could get, you know, some kind of rice dish with maybe some shrimp, I can't because the shrimp is cooked in butter, that sort of thing. And so that's a little bit frustrating. Or even their broccoli. Oh, we put butter on our broccoli and they can't cook it any other way. So I should tell you that MM actually shares a lot of great recipes on his website and in his books. Every one of his books has got quite a few recipes in it. So you can get ideas for drinks, entrees, desserts, snacks, smoothies, and all of that from MM at his or on his website, which is medicalmedium.com. Pinterest has got a whole bunch of his stuff. He's got a nice board there as well. And all of his ideas are people versus virus-friendly options. So, yeah, and there's some stuff there that I've made for other people, and they really do ooh and ah about it. Two other things that he says get rid of right away are corn and soy. And the corn, well, both of them actually, it's because of the GMOs, because they've been genetically modified. These viruses and bacteria love to eat the GMOs. And over time, because corn was so badly and totally connected with GMOs, but also with pesticides and insecticides that, you know, are put right into them in order to make them grow more easily, the bugs actually learn to love the corn as well. So now corn itself will feed them. They thrive on it. Now, soy isn't quite that bad. If it's not GMO, if it's organic as well, and it doesn't have the pesticides, insecticides, the bugs won't eat it, but it's getting really close. So MM says, take the corn out for always if you can, and the soy out at least while you're healing. And if you can, take it out longer than that. But yeah, so that's too bad. I know for me, I ate a lot of corn. I'd go to a Mexican restaurant where I actually can often eat. And then I would have stuff with corn tortillas, that kind of thing. But no, now I'm off of them completely. And we'll see if I ever even go back. So the one other thing I wanted to share with you that he talks about, this is more, well, he talks about it in both the Liver Rescue and the Medical Medium book, but Liver Rescue, he really gets into it, is fat. And I've mentioned this here, but fat is a very big problem that people are splitting into two groups, kind of your good fats and your bad fats. And then they're telling us, enjoy all you want of the good fats. In fact, eat lots and lots and lots of them because your brain is fed from these fats. Well, it turns out not. Your brain is fed from the sugar in fruit. Okay. That doesn't mean buy a bag of fructose and eat that. It means eat the fruit. Okay. It is not fed from the fat. And so the fat, whether it's good fat or bad fat, is still something that you really want to be careful about in your diet. So anytime you eat meat, there's fat. Meat has a lot of fat in it, even when you get the really lean stuff that doesn't look like it's got a lot of fat. So you want to be really careful with the amount of meat you eat. Eat it with awareness. Make it be like a treat. So rather than, you know, how most of us have been taught to think of, oh, I can't have that, those chips because I had a piece of cake at lunch, which is good. Okay. We don't want to be eating a bunch of that kind of unhealthy food for us, but we don't ever think that way with meat, that, wow, I can't have meat for supper because I already had bacon with breakfast. And I have to say, pork is one that he says sticks with you a really long time and such. So he's not against meat. I'm not against meat. I eat it. But whether you're a meat eater, a vegetarian, or a vegan, you want to pay attention to the amount of fat you're eating, whether it be avocados, cashews, olive oil, almonds, hemp seed, whatever. Eat it with awareness and learn to pay attention to the amount you're having. Another little comment here that I have to share, which is really sad, is that canola is not good for you. Now, I've known that for a long time, but even the non-GMO, the absolute perfect canola that they're using in health foods is not good for you. And that's a real bummer because if you go through the health food aisle in a store that has, you know, a natural health section, you'll find all kinds of snacks and treats and options for those people like me who can't eat gluten and dairy and all that stuff. Well, turns out like all of us. But you'll find them there, except they use canola oil. So I have to leave them on the shelf. And I'm hoping that these companies that I know really care about being healthy and think that canola is a healthy alternative, I'm hoping that they will learn and they will start using coconut oil, like a really good quality coconut oil or olive oil instead. MM describes in detail how eating fat puts strain on the liver and all the problems it can cause when the liver has to abort its fat control to deal with bigger problems. This can cause dirty blood, which explains why young, active people can suddenly have a heart attack or stroke, sometimes while they're out jogging, you know. He talks about the blood being like having to sip pudding through a straw for the heart, and that's why it's putting so much stress on the body. He talks about how excess fat goes rancid in our guts, causing ammonia leaks and terrible smells and bloating and pain and all that kind of stuff. And he also talks about how it feeds the bugs in our system. Interestingly, excess fat truly is what causes weight gain, but it's not because of the fat itself. It's because it creates a sluggish liver. And when the liver can't operate properly, you're going to have trouble with fat. So getting rid of it, cleaning it out, is a really good thing to do. So I've had two experiences with fat that taught me to be careful around them. And I'm almost out of time, but I want to quickly share them with you if I can. One was when I was reading a book by one of my health gurus that suggested a gentle way to flush out the liver in the morning was to drink about an eighth to a quarter cup of organic extra virgin olive oil with a half of a lemon juiced into it. Now, I was already drinking the half a lemon into water, so I thought, oh, all right, if that's good for the liver, why not? So I tried it. And then I did what he said, and I went to sit quietly. I happened to go outside, and then just sit quietly while my liver flushed. Oh my gosh. Within minutes, I was lying on the ground, and I honestly thought I was going to die. I felt like I was going to throw up, but I didn't even know if I could. I had spots in front of my eyes. I crawled over to my tree line, which I have no idea what I was thinking, but I figure that I wanted to hide my body because if I died, I didn't want my kids to come outside and find it. I don't know. Go figure. Oh my gosh. I spent about 20 minutes vacillating between nearly passing out and really wanting to vomit and not being able to. And oh, it was just awful. The second experience was a few years later. So this was maybe about 4 years ago. I decided to try one of the diets. It was not the keto diet, but it was a diet that asked you to eat a lot of high quality fat. And for the first week, you know, all was good because I love the grass-fed buttered coffee. Oh, it was delicious. And the rich, creamy coconut desserts. But the second week, oh my gosh, I started to feel so ill. I really felt like I was super hungover every day and I hadn't had a drop of alcohol. I felt sick if I even thought about eating. I really felt like, oh my gosh, there's something really, really seriously wrong with me. I wasn't sure if that was a detox response or something else, but I was really happy when the time was up and I could start adding back in other foods. It took me about a month to recover from that. I never really understood why, though, until I read The Liver Rescue. Now, despite this, I should tell you, my husband seemed to do fine on the program. He enjoyed the meals, lost weight, and felt great, but he didn't eat like I did when he wasn't on a diet. And anytime he goes on one of these things with me, his food is suddenly very controlled, and he always loses weight. So I can't really say for certain, well, in fact, I can say for certain, it wasn't the amount of fat he was eating that helped him lose weight. It was because we were now paying attention to what he was eating. So yeah, he did okay. And maybe he doesn't have the viruses in him that I do. But anyways, so that's a lot of information. I'm going to end it there for now, but I do plan on coming back to this topic again every few months and just telling you where I'm at and giving you any new updates that I can. So if you're reading MM's books or trying to understand all that I've shared here, feel free to set up a call with me. No strings attached. I've got time and I love to discuss this topic with people. So go to my website at vibrantpowerfulmoms.com and set up a complimentary call today. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of vibrant, powerful moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.